The 17th Kina, I always feel, is the most impossible Kina to think about. Im tochalna nashim piryam olalei tipuchim alalei li. That Jewish women were the very embodiment of rachmanis, of kindness, of goodness. That there could be such a thing that a woman would be able to cook, would be able to eat her own flesh. It's completely unfathomable. And I often felt that, you know, before my wife and I had been blessed with children of our own, it was impossible to think about such a thing. Alachas kam v'kama. Those of us who have been blessed with children, to think that a situation could get so crazy and so inhumane that such a thing could happen, it's completely beyond. I went into our children's room last night for a couple minutes and just sat on the floor just to think. Think about the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. To think about how much we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then to think about this kina for a moment. Not that one could even bring such images to mind. I promised myself a couple of months ago, when I read the biography of Rav Gustman. It's a biography that was way overdue, as the author admits in the Hakdama, 25 years since the passing of such a Gadol B'Yisrael. And Rav Gustman was a remarkable Talmud Chacham, someone who at a very young age sat on the Beis Din of Rav Chaim Ozer in Vilna. And I promised myself that if I wasn't going to be able on Tisha B'Av, if Mashiach hadn't come and Tchiyas HaMeisim hadn't occurred, and I wasn't able to give Mayor a hug, I promised myself a few months ago I would tell this story. Rav Gustman had an only son, Mayor. I'm reading to you from the biography, it's on page 108. Rav Gustman had an only son, Mayor, whom he called Mayorka. He was the apple of Rav Gustman's eye, a boy as sweet and beautiful as any child one can imagine. When he was 4 years old, when the Nazis took action against the Jewish children of the Vilna ghetto, the SS found the makeshift hiding place that Rav Gustman had hastily found for Meir. Rav Gustman lifted the boy and held him in his arms to protect him, but he couldn't shield him from them. The Nazis beat and beat the boy as Rav Gustman held his four-year-old son until his blood flowed all over his father's body. His face was no longer recognizable. And the Nazis were convinced that the boy was dead. They pushed Rav Gustman and his dead son into a pile of manure. Rav Gustman washed and buried his precious Merica's body himself. He exchanged the boy's shoes for bread for his starving wife and daughter. Usually he would divide all the food he managed to obtain and that he had not reserved for Rav Chaim Ozer's widow, who he was providing for, giving the largest portion to his daughter and the next largest portion to his wife and the smallest portion for himself. But this time, as he tried to consume his portion of the bread, he found himself unable to do so, for he felt he was consuming his own son's flesh. As is written in the Tochacha, and you will eat the flesh of your sons. He told his family that he could not eat without explaining why, and he gave his portion of bread to his daughter. And Tochal Nandash Imperium, that the Nazis Yimach Shemam could bring us to such a low place, that our enemies could bring us to such a low place. There's one other passage in the book I have to read you that goes hand in hand with this. In the yeshiva, in Rav Gustman's yeshiva, this is in Eretz Yisrael, after surviving the war. The practice was that there was a retirement home that was next to the yeshiva, and the retirement home had a kitchen, and that kitchen would provide food for the Bnei Yeshiva, for Rav Gusman and his Talmidim. It was a hechsher that was not universally accepted. Rav Gusman felt comfortable with it, and that was what the yeshiva relied upon. One day, all of a sudden, a Talmud noticed that Rav Gusman was surrounded by a group of young men, and he assumed they were discussing sugya, some halacha. So this Talmud came over and heard the following conversation. One of the young men standing in this group said to the Rosh Yeshiva, this Gon Olam who had sat on Rav Chaim Ozer's Beis Din, this Tzaddik who had suffered during the war and had come to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild, some young fellow had the chutzpah to say to Rav Gusman, listen, you know, the food that you serve in your yeshiva is not universally accepted. The hechsher is not something that everyone's comfortable with. And we want to supply you with food from a different source. And if you sign on, we'll add you to our rabbinical board. We'll give you kavod. And if you don't, they threatened Rav Gusman, if you don't sign on, if you don't go along with our plan, we'll be forced to publicly humiliate you and add your name to the list of those rabbis whose names are plastered on signs and proclamations hung all over the city, publicizing their laxity in mitzvahs. Imagine. Rav Gusman, certainly you do not need humiliation, of course we all need honor. Listen to what Rav Gusman replied. Rosh Yeshiva paused for a moment and then replied, Kinderlach, let me tell you a little bit about kavod and humiliation. When I was 22 years old, there was a rabbinical meeting in Vilna. I was delayed and I arrived 10 minutes late. As I walked into the room, to my shock and to the surprise of all who were there, as soon as I entered the room, Rav Chaim Ozer Grodzinski, the undisputed Prince of Torah Jewry, stood up for me. 22 years old. The Gadol Hador stood up for him. As soon as he stood up, the entire rabbinate of Vilna stood up for me. Whatever kavod you can promise can never compare to the honor I received that day in Vilna. And if you're talking about humiliation, let me tell you about what happened to me just a few years later in that same city of Vilna. I had one son in my life who was the apple of my eye, and his name was Merica. When little Meir was just 4 years old, the Nazis found my hiding place. I grabbed Meir and held him in my arms to protect him. However, the cruel and sadistic Nazis beat the child while in my arms until his blood flowed like water all over my body. When the Nazis were convinced he was dead, they pushed me onto a pile of manure along with my dead son. I buried him with my own hands and removed his shoes, cleaned off the blood, and traded his little shoes for food for my wife and surviving daughter. Do you know what it is to barter your dead son's shoes for food? Do you know what humiliation is to be thrown onto a dung heap with your murdered son? Kinderlach, I have experienced more kavod than you can ever give me, and I have suffered more humiliation than you could ever heap upon me. So I will continue to take food from the local facility with the local hechsher, and you'll do whatever you want to do. Now please excuse me, because for 5 years during the war I rarely saw a sefer, so I still have much learning to make up. And with that, the Rosh Yeshiva lowered his eyes to his Gemara and returned immediately to the sugi he had been learning before their arrival. The story of Gusman's son, humiliation, the shame, the disgrace. These are unfathomable things. But like I said in the introduction, these aren't stories. Is the suffering of Klal Yisrael. And I think the only thing we could say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we recite such a kina, kina yud zayin, as we talk about Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomlei Chasadim, the very essential traits of a Jew, which the Rambam says, if you find a Jew who lacks one of these qualities, you should do some DNA testing, you should look into their lineage, you should find out if in fact they are truly Jewish. But there were tekufos in our period that we were stripped of everything that we stand for. We were forced to fall to very, very low places, to face such humiliation. And I guess the only thing I could say is a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that as we recite this kina, we think about how low a Jew can fall, often not our own fault, and how high a Jew can rise, as Rav Gusman described, the kavod that he received, standing as a 22-year-old Dayan and Rav Chaim Ozer is based in. As the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, the Jewish people are compared to the stars and compared to the dirt. When we fall or when we're pushed down, maybe there's a better way to say it, we sometimes hit rock bottom. But Amir Tzashem, we know that Mida Tova Meruba, Mida Paranus, that if Klal Yisrael can suffer, and Klal Yisrael can fall to unimaginable lows, then Amir Tzashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'nahafachu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take the words of this tefillah, of this kina, and lift us up to heights like nothing we could ever imagine. In Tocham and Nashim Piriyah, Olay Futuchim al Arayli, Tevashel na Nashim Rachmani Oz Yeladi, Hamadudim Tefachim Tevachim al Arayli, Tigod na Paz Rosham, Tisikshar the Susim Parachim al Arayli, In Tidbak Lishon Yonek Lecheich, Letzimaon Tzichichim, In Tumana Zolu Mazor, Boi Vashel, Echlaninu Tzorichim al Arayli, I'm going to go to the hospital.